Cinco de Mayo. We are on the road. We are at Werner Park. We are in the Stormfront show, store. We have to take a selfie there. The president of the Omaha Storm Chasers, Union Omaha, Marty Cordero, has stopped by. Day game today, 12:05. We actually have a four-pack of tickets to give away to today's game, tomorrow's game, and then on Sunday, as the series against the St. Paul Saints continues last night, Storm Chasers got off to a great start, scored five runs in the first, won 8-2. Jackson Kowar, who was a first-round pick of the Royals in 18. Last time he pitched in Omaha, he struck out 13 in the College World Series. Last night he was fantastic, 9 strikeouts and 5 2/3, fastball 94-99. What else can I say? It was a fun night last night. 610 days, is that right?
It was 610, and now today's going to be 1. So that's that number's much better. And, yeah, it was good to catch up with you a little bit after the game. Kowar looked great, and, you know, the lineup is it's a solid lineup. The pitching, the starting pitching is there, even without Daniel Lynch in it for right now. And Poley has a lot to work with. Yes. The Royals have a lot to continue to develop, and it's scary to think that there's probably more raw talent at AA than AAA. Mm-hmm. And that bodes well for the next. Yeah. Is this 2010 to 2015 again for, you know, Omaha and the Metro to be able to watch the best of AAA baseball and future World Series players? I think so. I think so.
And you could have had Daniel Lynch, who is the number one pitching prospect, open up last night, but he got called up to Kansas City and pitched on Monday. So it kind of feels like this is a familiar path again to a mini rebuild to try and replicate 14-15.
But different. Yes. And different in the sense that it's more pitching heavy, yeah. Much more pitching depth, and power arms. I mean, how many guys throw 95 to 99? Yeah. I mean, a dozen? It is a large number. And the Royals, they went all in on that draft a few years ago when they went college pitching heavy. And so far, it's paid off, and it's exciting to see. You know, we get to work with J.J. Piccolo on a daily basis, and then Scott Sharp, Dayton Moore, they're friends. You know, they're not just colleagues in Kansas City, but they're friends, partners, and it's great to see them having that success, and it's starting to pay off in the big leagues. You know, who knows if they'll go, you know, they'll win the division or not, but to see that competitiveness after two or three pretty tough years has to be a great feeling for them. And you know, we can't wait to see Bobby Witt Jr. and MJ Melendez and Nick Prado and a number of those position players that are really of name. And, you know, Kyle Isbell's here this year, and there are some other names as well. So this is a
Cedis Escobar before long is going to be here.
You know, and we'll see how long. And it'd be great to see Esky. And it's an exciting time to restart minor league baseball, but it's equally exciting to see the caliber of talent and quite possibly the most talented team in the International League, or should I say AAA East, this year. So we urge fans to come out. And, yes, today at noon is the next opportunity.
What was the feedback you got last night? You had a really good crowd here. The weather was nice. They got to see a Storm Chaser win. It was good to see a lot of familiar faces, you know, upstairs in the press box to see Tony and Clinton, Minda and Ken. But what was the feedback you got from the fans that came out here for the first time since September 2nd of 19?
You know, a lot of conversation on, you know, requirements and how long are we going to have to wear masks and, you know, what are the changes going to be? And we can't answer that. That's all Major League Baseball. And our new relationship means we report directly to them, not to them indirectly through the Royals. It's a reverse of that. So that was kind of the first conversation. But once you got past that, it was Christmas Eve, Christmas morning, New Year's. It is, you know, opening day is special, but after 610 days, it was, you know, hashtag Chasers family is what we selected this year for a reason. You know, I didn't get out of here till fairly late, 11:15, because after the game, it ended at 9:20. It was conversation after conversation, and thank you, and photos, and, you know, I had notes given to me, and I had self-addressed notes to send to Mike Sweeney and to some other people because of some things they did in the offseason. And, again, baseball family. And that's what last night was. It was a celebration. And I do believe, Gary, this first six games and probably in May we'll continue to feel that for the regulars. And then once we get into June, when school gets out, we'll see our semi-regular people come out, and then they'll have that experience once they start to bring their families and their kids out. on non-school nights.
Yeah, the sounds, the sights, and the smells, and you're going to get kids here today playing a noon game, a lot of field trips.
There will be.
Which they didn't have last year.
Didn't have last year, and quite frankly, 2 weeks ago when Andreas Vador told me that, yeah, I've sold, you know, I don't know, 800, 900,000 school tickets, I'm like, wow, I didn't know that we were going to have school kids on May the 5th. But it's great. It is great to see some sense of normalcy. Obviously, we're not all the way back, but, you know, it's socially distanced. You know, we'll probably have a couple thousand fans here today or whatever the number will end up being. But that's good. That's good. We're started playing, and we're going to build back. And then, you know, operationally, we have a lot of things to clean up. 75-80% of our staff had never worked a Storm Chasers game until last night. They have now. You know, first four or five games, we'll get our legs under us, and then by May 25th, you know, we'll be back to a better machine than we were last night.
And people ask me, why isn't there anything on the field? It is the protocols. There'll be no on-field entertainment that has become kind of synonymous with minor league baseball, and especially here. There's just some other things to work through. But walk me through what a fan is going to experience when they pull in the lot here. In kind of this season with the protocols that are in place, what do they have to do? What's different? How does it act? How's it like as a fan compared to the last time you were in this facility?
Well, if you don't buy your parking online with your tickets or didn't buy your parking online with your season tickets, and you can do both of those still online, you will pay with a credit card or debit card for parking. That's something that's new. You'll park. You'll come to the front. Make sure that you have a clear bag, whether it's a backpack, even a diaper bag. Bags are required to be clear unless they're the, you know, the little 4-inch by 9-inch clutch purse. You know, we do allow those for women and ladies. But you have that available, and then, you know, we have metal detectors now. That was something we enacted last year, and we have continued that with Storm Chasers baseball. So, you know, you'll have to take things out of your pockets. You'll go through and make sure you have a mask on. You know, masks are required for entry, and the MLB guidelines say 2 years and up. So all fans, and, you know, if for some reason you forget it, we have them at the gates, and then if you're not actively eating or drinking, you're supposed to keep your mask on. You know, we're not going to be mask police. You know, if you're eating or drinking in your suite or in your seats, and you're being responsible, we're not going to be mask police. That's not what we're here for. You know, we're here for people to come out and have fun, not to have to work to have fun. But that's how it works. And then once you're in the ballpark, it is cashless. But if you come and you prefer not to use a debit card or prefer not to use a credit card, and you carry cash, then you can come in the Stormfront team store, and we have a new system to where you can load $20, $50, $100, whatever you want, onto a Warner Park gift card that's good for that night or Union Omaha games or special events, and it's good at any point in time.
Is that something that will continue into 21, 22, and beyond in the industry?
I think it's here to stay. Yeah. So to answer your question, yes. I think that the cashless is probably here to stay. Does that mean, you know, you won't see ATMs again, and we will not accept cash in any form? I don't know that I'll go that far, but I think the norm is now going to be credit cards and debit cards and less reliant on cash. And, you know, our first soccer match last year for Union Omaha was August the 1st, and we did still have an ATM that night, but we encouraged credit card usage. And it was like 97% that night was credit card and 3% was cash, and that was without saying we're requiring that. So people were already getting with that program even before Major League Baseball, you know, told us that was their preference and that's the direction they wanted us to go.
How'd the transition go now that baseball is here? Because it's a fascinating transition. Baseball field to soccer, back to baseball field. If you would have not noticed some of the lines that are just faintly still on the grass, you would have never known that, what, 2 weeks ago, a week ago, this was a soccer field.
You answered the question. That's what we want. You know, we want the general fan does not have the angle that you have, that sitting in the press box is an official sport has, or someone in the media. And that's what we want. And I got as many comments about that last night as I did masks. And people were kind of amazed. Wow, you've had two high school soccer matches and an exhibition game for Union, a regular season game for Union, and 2 weeks of practice. And that was the feedback we got. And, you know, the weather has been up and down. Mm-hmm. We haven't had a lot of rain, so it's somewhat dry. And we were concerned about that root growth. But Zach and Tom and their team, they've done a great job. We'll see what the flips are when it's more regular in June, July, August, September. But for right now, I think we're in a pretty good spot, and it looked normal. You're right, other than a couple lines.
When do you think, and I'm glad that you've mentioned Major League Baseball has a big say in the mass and the capacity. What do you have to reach to expand the capacity, maybe relax some protocols? Will that happen during the course of the season, running concurrent with what's happening in our community?
Where we hear that 85% is a magical number. 85% is an organization being vaccinated. An organization meaning players, staff, front office, whatever it might be. But a couple of weeks ago, we were told that now AAA is looked at as taxi squad / alternate site with the big leagues, not necessarily AAA baseball. We're trying to get clarity on that because the vaccination rates at the big leagues are in some cases half or even two-thirds less than vaccinations at the minor league level, and that's for a variety of reasons. But we're optimistic that it's going to be re-looked at and AAA will be looked at independently. But I would tell you that I'm not overly hopeful that MLB will change their stance on that.
And people are hearing us talk about this, and you can tell as much as you want. What's the relationship? How is it different? The relationship you had at the beginning of the 19 season, where there was actually a minor league baseball office in St. Petersburg, Florida, with a president, to today, where there is no office, there is no Pat O'Connor, there is Major League Baseball, and Rob Manfred sometimes treating it like his little experimental playground. How's the relationship between the minor league operators and now Major League Baseball? How is that different in a span of 18 months?
You know, there's some really good people that we get to work with at the MLB level. But I would tell you, in a general sense, there is no relationship there today that is firm and solid. But I am optimistic that as we go onward and as the memos slow down and as COVID continues to improve and we can get back to business as normal, that we will be able to spend time on developing relationships with the baseball operations side, with the enterprises side, IT and all the different interfaces that we have. But it's not there yet, Gary, and it's too early. And quite frankly, I'll be honest with you, the people that we work with, they were put in an extremely difficult spot because people above them did not plan out this transition. And the people above them still probably don't understand what we go through and what an operator goes through at any level of minor league baseball. And fundamentally, we're here for their players that they're trying to get to the big leagues to market and promote and to continue to grow their television rights and their media revenue. So there should be more of an understanding on how important it is for us to take care of the players. And secondly, we're the soul in Omaha, in St. Paul, in Tulsa, in Jacksonville, and I think Fresno and on and on. We're the soul of professional baseball, not New York, not Chicago, not Kansas City. And that's not being arrogant. It's being true. We are where fans are developed. And the amount of Facebook messages and texts and tweets and emails that I've gotten over the last 2 weeks that say that, I can't wait for Friday night, May 7th, or Saturday, May 8th, when my kids are able to come out, because you started during the school week, because that's where they are learning baseball. That's where I want to teach them about baseball. And that is the gateway to a major league game, whether you're watching it on television, if you can find the games on television, or if you're buying a ticket to go to the big league. So, I have told you that before, and I am even more firm in that assessment than I was even before the takeover of minor league baseball by MLB.
I know you got to go park some buses, but one final question here. Because it was very noticeable last night, the really only rule change for AAA is larger bases. I mean, those things are huge. I mean, they are significantly larger. What is your thoughts on that and the other changes that are being experimented in minor league baseball that may eventually make it to AAA or trickle down from the big leagues?
I have buses to park.
We're here till 2.
That's not enough time if I start talking about it. Let's just say there are a number of things that I think are interesting that they're talking about. But 10-run rules and...
No, they're not talking about 10-run rules, are they?
And a lot of other things that we're hearing behind the scenes. You know, I don't know what's going to happen, but no. Yeah, those bases did look massive. I thought they would be great tent weights for all the tents we have out here at Warner Park. But, you know, look, they're going to try those things. I just hope we don't get to the point where we do have robo-umpires. I think there's been a lost element with arguments and discussions with replay. I think that's something that has missed. I mean, I think as parents, we can teach our kids right and wrong and that, you know, you're not supposed to do certain things. You know, some people have said, oh, it's taking that out and the game's nicer. Who cares? I mean, the Billy Martins and the Bobby Coxes and the Lou Piniellas, that was flavor. Earl Weaver, that was flavor. And when people say that baseball needs to market itself better, there are some things in the past that are okay to bring back and okay to happen. And I am, out of the same side of my mouth, I'm okay with the bat flip. I'm okay with celebration. I think we need to celebrate because culture is different in Dominican or Venezuela or wherever players are coming from. I think they need to also be able to celebrate. And we're not focusing on that, but we're focusing on the size of bases. You know, we're focusing on the shot clock. I still refuse to call it a pitch clock. It's okay to sit in a game and actually have a conversation while you watch it and not have your head on a swivel. We don't have to have 2-hour and 5-minute games. 3-hour games are fine. They're fine. Anyway, I have buses to go.
All right. Thank you. Congratulations.
Gary, great to see you.
Good luck day two.
And as always, I really appreciate what 1620 The Zone does in supporting local sports. I tell you, you know, not being from here, I've learned so much about high school athletics from all the shows, especially in the morning. God, I hate to give those guys credit, but what you guys do for local sports at all levels is appreciated, and thank you.
Well, thank you. We're gonna we have a lot of stuff that's still to be announced in our relationship with 1620 and you guys, so we're gonna spend a lot of time out here.
Awesome.
Yeah. Okay, so we have a $50 tab. I think your guy just like was signaling us.
Medium. Any name. Youth T-shirt. Gear Sharp.
Thanks,
just
Marty.
Put Sharp on the back.
Thanks, Marty. That's Marty Cordero, the president of the Omaha Storm Chasers in Union Omaha. Storm Chasers play at 12:05 today here at Warner Park. They take on the St. Paul Saints. If you stop by and you come into the Stormfront, the team store, or you can go through the Sarpy County Tourism Office, say hello to Fred Huey, give him a little chest bump. We have a 4-pack of tickets, your choice, either to today's game, tomorrow's game, or on Sunday. The Storm Chasers are opening up a 6-game homestand against St. Paul. We're back with Hour 2 from Warner Park on the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone.